I'm joined by Aaron Stein, a non-proliferation program manager at the Istanbul think tank, the Center for Economics and Foreign Policy Studies. Aaron, there's been this report that Turkey is has been considering using Patriot missiles to establish some kind of safe zone in Syria. How credible do you think that is?
Well, certainly by itself, the Patriot missile is not sufficient to set up any type of safe zone in Syria. However, it can be seen as a precursor for some sort of intervention within the multilateral context. I think the timing is quite interesting because the election night in the United States last night, you saw no international consensus about what exactly there is to do in Syria. So you had the U.S. really not talking about it too much, and Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in their debates actually saying they wouldn't intervene in Syria. But if you take this Patriot deployment in the larger context of what's happening in the region, Hillary Clinton's efforts to unite a Syrian opposition that has some traction on the ground, as well as the United Kingdom's announcement today that they'll talk with the armed rebels, you could see that there might be some movement towards an intervention in Syria. However, the Patriot by itself is not sufficient for the establishment of a no-fly zone or any type of buffer zone on the border.
Aren't we reading too much into this, perhaps? Turkey has been full of bluster about Syria in the last few months without much action. Oughtn't we to be cautious about such statements?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very important to be cautious about this, considering they've asked for one Patriot deployment. Assad has one of the largest, if not the largest, ballistic missile capabilities in the region, as well as the capability to produce and service their Scud missiles. And so what you're looking at here is a very capable ballistic missile force. Bashar al-Assad actually has a very large air force as well. So you're looking at one system that is insufficient to deal with the larger military systems that Syria has. And so you have to take this with a grain of salt. Is Turkey putting in place a passive defense system to prepare for a worst-case scenario, i.e. the fall of Syria, and is worried about what happens should Assad go and his control over chemical weapons and wants to be prepared? Or is this part of a larger effort to begin putting in place the infrastructure for intervention? We just don't know the answer yet. So again, it's careful to take everything and not read too much into it, but just to see the facts as they come out.
Does Turkey have a big stockpile of Patriot weapons?
Now, from my understanding, Turkey does not have the Patriot. That's why they're asking for it. In the previous two encounters, and when they've asked for it, they were provided by other NATO states, both in 1991 and 2003.
How do you think the U.S. is going to view this call, if it is a call from Turkey?
Well, I would assume the U.S. would view favorably. I mean, you had the U.S. ambassador here in Turkey coming out yesterday on the eve of the election saying no matter who wins the election, Turkey's not alone. And so the U.S. has been very eager to convince the Turks that they're not alone, that the U.S. may have been wary of intervention, but we're eager to try and help in ways that the United States can. And this could be seen as one of those efforts. Again, the system is not offensive, it's defensive. And so this is not seen as something that could preempt or be part of a Turkish intervention from that standpoint. So, I mean, it simply could be seen as the U.S. aiding in Turkish defense.
Is it a possibility this has been misreported and they actually meant some other form of missile?
It's absolutely possible. I mean, there are other types of air defense weapons that could be used. But, this has a precedent. Like I said, Turkey's asked for it twice. I mean, look, anything's possible. What we have is a story by a Turkish newspaper quoting an unnamed source saying that they've asked for Patriot. Is it possible that the story is not true? Sure. Is it possible that somebody made a mistake? Absolutely. But again, it's just Patriot. It's not an offensive system. It's a defensive system.
And it's just the timing that's so interesting.
Right. The timing is interesting. I mean, because when you put it together with what else has been happening, this actually leaked, I think, at the beginning of the week or even late last week. There was reports about this. And when you put it in context of what Hillary Clinton is doing and what the United Kingdom came out and said today and the end of the U.S. election, it raises questions. Is this a precursor to any type of intervention and Turkey is preparing for some sort of fallout? Or is Turkey simply just putting in place the infrastructure to defend itself for the long haul as Syria deteriorates? The answer is we don't know. We'll have to see as we move forward.
Can you offer any kind of prediction? Do you think we're going to get any kind of a different stance from an Obama second term on Syria?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. I'm not in Washington. When I talk to my friends in Washington about what the mood is for intervention, I was actually just having this conversation with somebody last night. Their answer is there's absolutely no mood for this type of intervention in Washington. People are against it. People have no interest in getting involved in another regional war. I tend to agree that that's the major sentiment. However, when you talk to people who have been in Syria, I have not, but when you talk to people who have, you know, gone across the border and you hear about the suffering, especially that Assad is using aircraft now and there's really no defense against these aircrafts amongst the rebels, and the rebels have carved out a pretty large swath sort of on the Turkish-Syrian border up towards Aleppo, you can't help but feel that there could be an audience someplace in the West for some sort of passive resistance, whether they be Stinger missiles or other types of aid given that would not entangle either NATO and the United States in some sort of long-term military commitment, but giving these rebels defense against Syrian aircraft, to which they have none and to which they are being bombed constantly by the Syrian Air Force.
Last month, you wrote a paper with the intriguing title, Could Turkey Beat Syria? I'm not sure that the paper really answered that headline, but what is the answer to that question?
I co-authored that with my colleague, Dove Friedman, and to be honest, I didn't choose the title. I had a different title. That article was essentially looking at Turkey's response to the shelling along the border that killed five people. Yeah. And at that point, you know, Turkey had gone to Parliament and received permission to conduct military operations in Syria. And there was a fear, especially that Turkey might sort of act on this thing or act on its long bluster and try and do something. And the paper was the point of that of the article, which I still believe, is that Turkey wants to operate within the sphere of proportional response. So for every shell that falls on Turkish territory, you know, accidentally by Assad, Turkey has said it will respond with two shells. That's really all they've done. And that's really all I think that they're going to do because of a number of restraints on, you know, Turkish armed forces and the amount of work or the sort of gargantuan task it would take to implement a no-fly zone in Syria.
And so requests for Patriot missiles or whatever it is doesn't change that. Turkey is not going to take the lead on taking on the Assad regime.
Assuming that NATO operates the way it did in Libya and in Kosovo, you know, sort of follows those campaigns for implementing no-fly zone, it seems to be, based upon my open source analysis, that this is a too big a task for the Turkish armed forces by itself. And it would need multilateral assistance in order to do so, most likely or most probably from the United States. And the reason why I say that is you have leaked documents about the Libya campaign from Denmark and I think a Danish paper, and then the New York Times both said that France and the UK had trouble with command and control, aerial intelligence, and sort of targeting issues. So if you're looking at France and the United Kingdom as your model, then you have Turkey, you sort of see this problem of acting without the U.S., for big military operations like implementing a no-fly zone in Syria. So that is where I make this assessment. So no, I don't see this Patriot as sort of a move towards Turkey acting on its own. But the question, as I said earlier, is this part of a coordinated effort amongst the NATO states to begin putting in place assets to be able to choose to operate or intervene in the coming months? And I think a lot of that will depend on the political side. So will Hillary Clinton be successful in her efforts to consolidate the Syrian opposition? Nobody has to date, so she has a big task in front of her. If she's successful and they speak for the Syrian people, whatever that means, and they're able to form a government in waiting, then we'll be able to see what the implication of these patriots and these sort of in parallel political moves will have for the future of intervention in Syria.
Okay, Aaron, thank you very much for your time. Thanks.